Howdy, everyone. This is Just Plain Nonsense, and I'm Just Plain Michael.
And I'm Just Plain Rob.
I'm Shane.
Okay.
He's flavored differently.
Yeah. So today's episode that we're going to be dancing around in, this topic is going to be kind of dear to my heart because I just experienced this week. So I thought it'd be it's fresh of mine to talk about.
And it was super scary.
Yeah. So it's basically being sick and hospital encounters. But we're going to discuss it in the opposite order.
I have so many examples.
So how we deal with being sick like that. But we're going to go first. As part one is just hospital encounters, ERs like that, you know,
gotcha.
Clinic stuff.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, whenever I was first born, I was in the hospital for an entire month. Does that count? I mean, I don't remember any
of it. I thought you were just going to say, when I was first born, I was in the hospital.
No, I was in a little incubator tube.
Oh, were you like a little?
Oh, yeah, I was 3 pounds.
So you were a preemie?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Another weird thing may have come, I was in a preemie, but I was in the hospital for a while for stuff, but that's crazy.
3 pounds?
Uh-huh.
That's so small.
And my mom used to tell me she could literally about fit me in her hand.
That's so tiny. First born.
So you were like a little kitten.
Correct. Yeah, I'm still that's a kitten, cute. Actually.
That's cute. A little.
Well, I'm glad you're still here.
Me too.
Aww. It's a baby baby.
Yeah, baby baby.
It's a baby baby. It's the level below.
Yeah.
Step down.
Man, that's such a scary thing.
Not for me. Like, I don't remember.
Has your mom ever talked to you about it?
Oh, yeah. She talks about it all the time.
So was she like, what was she feeling?
Well, I was her first child. So it was like,
that made
generally terrifying. She used to go, I mean, I was in St. Louis. So she would drive back and forth basically like every week.
She didn't stay there?
I think she did for part of it. And then she was home for like the latter end.
Man, that had to be so hard for her to be away from you. Like your first baby and you're like, I have to leave him in the hospital.
Like, I think she was there for like the majority. I think she'd like go back for like a day. And then, you know, like
okay, you okay.
Yeah,
you,
she wasn't like, hey, I'll go visit you on the weekend.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. She'd be like at home for a week and then come back.
No. I think she was there pretty much the whole time.
Okay. Yeah. But so she was mostly in there with you
from
and
then
drive home when she needed
from what
to.
You can remember, because you were just
which
a baby
nothing,
baby.
But
right.
What I've been told, yes.
Okay.
Interesting.
That's still a scary situation for her. I can't imagine what she was going through.
I guess like the whole reason that happened too is especially when you're preemie, it happens all the time. Your lungs are underdeveloped, mm-hmm. so they basically just like don't work right, and they have to put you in the incubator for long enough for your lungs to be able to work.
So do you know if they like make you cry constantly or like what's up with that?
I have no idea.
You don't remember?
It's interesting because we had the extra stay in the hospital thing come, but one thing was we had different. Was that I was like a huge baby. I was like 10 pounds.
Of course you were.
Yeah. I was freaking huge. Freaking huge.
Huge.
So no, I'm congested, so I can't do my.
You can't put the H on it. Freaking huge.
If I wasn't congested, which we'll find out why in a second, I'd be able to do an impersonation. But yeah, so the hospital, right?
Right.
With that, I had an interesting encounter this week where I thought I was going to die, which. There's been many times in my life that I barely escaped death. So yeah. It's weird.
Like, and that's not an exaggeration.
It's
either.
Not like, you know, yeah. Yeah. God's got to look out for me because I keep getting myself situations.
We all need to look out for you. Like it's a team effort.
Yeah. So, you know, it was, should I go ahead and start with it? I labeled this thing bloodiest week ever.
Oh my God.
So this is the bloodiest week of my life. So I was talking to Rob on the phone. You know, doing our thing. I was twirling my hair. We're talking about JPNs like that, you know?
Yeah, I was on my bed on my elbows and I had my feet up in the air looking at my Justin Bieber poster.
And as you guys have known, as you guys know who have been following us for all these years and recently in our YouTube endeavors, one of my trademark things is that I pretty much just start chugging energy drinks because I'm very sleep deprived. I'm a busy guy. I work midnights at my job. I'm in local... look positive recently, you know, I have times and seasons that the year where I'm more busy than others. So I wasn't taking care of my health. And so drinking like 3 energy drinks a day and 5 if it's a freaking podcast day.
And we were always like making light of it.
Yeah. And, you know, you always a lot of times people, myself included, think that they're tougher than they are. But we're very fragile and things can happen. Right. And it also gives me a good way to kind of, if I was influencing any kids to be that way, if for some reason you looked up to me for whatever weird reason, don't do that. Like, it's not good for you. So anyway, I haven't been getting much sleep. I wasn't taking care of my health, given the short version of this. And my blood pressure has been high for a long time. I don't have high blood pressure by diagnosis, but every time I go to get checked, just like on the vlog where we went to the doctor, because I kept having things that would wind me up in the hospital for small stuff or whatever, and I get my blood pressure checked, and they're like, it's super high. Is it normally that high? I'm like, no, it's whatever. And so I even cracked a joke. I was like, no, they're just measuring my masculinity. It's real high. But you know, I never took it seriously. I'm like, I'm all right. Started having chest pains here and there. It's like, but you know, whatever. It's just
overlook problem after problem.
Yeah.
Heart attacks, symptom after symptom. They're fine. Yeah. It's not a big deal.
Well, you know, I missing all as much sleep as I'm not taking care of my body the way I was. And my wife had been telling me for a while because I guess she loves me or something, you know, hey girl. And you know, you need to cut it down. I'm like, don't nag me. I'm fine. Like, I'm still young. I'm pretty, you know, I got this. Like, well, they end up putting, if all those signs weren't enough, people tell me, doctors, you know, I'm like, it's not that big of a deal, right? So they end up putting a blood pressure machine in my freaking job just recently. And I'm like, I'm going to go check that out. And it freaking flashed red. It doesn't, you know, it's like, it's high.
Panic button.
Bring it down. I'm like, well, it looks like I just need to drink me some water, you know? And, stopped lifting, you know, I lost a lot of my mass because, you know, the whole social thing, you know, whatever. And the gyms have been closed. And so I just drank more water, you know. And
I mean, that is healthy.
Yeah.
You should do that.
Well, this week I started Wednesday. I started having chest pain a little bit, a little tightness. And I got a little dizzy and I tasted like aluminum in my mouth. I don't know if that's anything to anything. I was like, and I felt lethargic. I'm like, I need to sit down a little bit. And I almost called into work, but I didn't. Because I'm like, I have a one-day vacation scheduled, which extends my weekend. I was like, I'm just going to tough it out, even though I had 2 hours of sleep.
Pineapples.
Yeah, chugged a couple more energy drinks, you know, and went on my merry way. And so went to work, came home, didn't feel right. Felt kind of weak or whatever, but then chugged an energy drink.
Oh my god!
And got done the task that I wanted to get done that day.
Because I'm like,
it's my freaking weekend. You know,
that's what baby, I'm about to.
That's what I told my wife. Like, it's my freaking weekend, honey. I'm gonna have me some fun. She's like, maybe you need to sleep. I'm like, I'll sleep tonight. It's no big deal, right? So then later on that evening, I was talking to Rob on the phone. Right now, we understand the probable cause. Right. So my blood pressure's been high for a while, but I don't have high blood pressure by diagnosis. Just I've been treating my body like dog crap, and. I'm talking to Rob on the phone and I bend over and I was kind of angry about some stuff and my blood pressure is already high. And Rob is really good at calming me down. You know, he's, you know, that kind of person, that kind of friend. He's that dude. So he was calming me down. I felt a little better. And I was like, okay, sort of get a headache again. And I bent over to grab, I think I was like, a nickel, you know, cause like,
because, in your garage,
it's yeah, shiny.
Well, I like to keep change separated in different clear water bottles by what coin they are. And then when I fill them up, I put them bigger. They just, I don't know, I'm weird. But so I was like, oh, a nickel, you know, and I go pick it up. And I guess my blood pressure was so high and that the pressure was so high that when I bent over, I started popping some blood vessels. And I stood up and blood started coming out of my nose. And it didn't take a long before it was coming out of my mouth. And I started getting pretty nervous. And I told Rob, I said, I don't remember my exact words, but I was like, hey, buddy, I'm bleeding really bad. I need to get off the phone.
Something along those lines.
And so like me, I'm actually kind of a big baby with certain things, but you won't know it because I use humor or I'll just kind of brush it off so I can calm myself down and others around me, right? Because I don't want to freak out.
Freak out.
And so I get inside. By the time I get into my garage and into my kitchen area, the blood was coming out so profusely that I couldn't catch it all. So I went over my sink, you know, and I yelled for my wife and I felt bad because my kids ended up seeing it and my wife ran them off and my mom came in there and, you know, I heard that nosebleeds can be really bad. So, but come to find later, this wasn't necessarily a nosebleed. And, so blood was coming out and I started choking on it and doing my thing where I was praying and all that stuff. And I won't go into all that right now. It's not necessary for this content, this kind of thing. But my mom tells my wife to call an ambulance. And I go, no, those things are freaking expensive.
Just ridiculous that you have to worry about the price of it over your health.
They'll gouge your eyes
America.
Out.
America. This is America.
So my wife's like, no, let's just go. And we end up agreeing on going. And so...
you got a bucket.
I started getting short of breath, and the blood still wouldn't come out, wouldn't stop coming out. It was just ridiculous. And so I went outside because I didn't want my kids to see me like that, just in case I fainted, you know. I go out there, and the ambulance comes up, and they're talking to me, and end up having a really good conversation with the EMT guy. Was, you know, I feel like we're pretty much bros now after that. Then I started choking really intensely. And I guess, you know, those prayers worked. Well, I know they did, but I started choking. The EMT described it to the doctor when he got me inside that it was probably the biggest blood clot he's ever seen. And it was like the size, of course, he was exaggerating slightly.
But slightly.
He said, but he said it was the size, it looked like it was the size of the fire hydrant we passed coming in. And that's what I was choking on, but I was healing that fast, right? I guess my body was just like, hey, you know, we need to stop this. And so I get in there and they start cauterizing it and package me up. Well, you know, doctors do what they can. You know, but they're not specialists, right? And so you got to keep that in mind. There's one doctor I have a problem with, won't mention his name, but you'll see why in a little bit on a different night. Because I was in the ER 3 to 4 nights in 3 days or something like that. Like it kept happening. But so, you know, they were really cool to me. They cauterized it, packaged, put me some packaging, you know, and then sent me on my way. So you should be good. Like, all right, cool. I get home about 3 in the morning. As my wife was kind of nervous for what she saw, you know, so she stayed next to me, you know, and every time I move, she'd go, you know, and I slept on the couch because I need to sit sitting up, I need to sleep sitting up, you know, pretty much like a vampire, which is how I've slept every day since then. And I'm trying to sum this up real quick. So blood starts leaking again, like profusely. I got a Walmart bag, not sponsored by Walmart. And there's some paper towels that start laying it, and just blood just come. I'm trying to squeeze it and apply pressure. It's just coming up through my nose. And I'm choking on it. So I have to let go just so I can breathe. And it was just a nightmare. And I'm like, no ambulance this time. I was like, just take me. And so my wife jumps to the truck, takes me to the hospital. And the doctor that night, so they shove a rocket in my nose, is what they call it. So they put in your nose, and I'm really going to turn people off of energy. It's probably going to get my sponsorship now. But you guys are more important, right? So anyway, they shove the rocket up my nose and it has a balloon at the end of it, right? And so they fill up with air. They put the solution on to help stop the bleeding. And there's a balloon in the back and it swells up. Well, what they didn't know is that all those years I spent boxing, I destroyed my nose. And my septum wasn't straight and like everything was wrong. So they were actually causing more harm to me. So then I go home and then go back in like the next day, next night or whatever. My head's swelling up and I feel like my teeth are going to pop out of my head. My eyes are in excruciating pain because of all the pressure. And the doctor, the one doctor I didn't like, he goes, what's the problem? I was like, blood's still dripping down my throat. It's still coming. There's pressure. It didn't stop the bleeding and I'm in severe pain. He goes, well, what do you suspect we do? Because we got to leave it in for 2 days, right? And I go, I don't know, sir. It hurts. You're the doctor. Help me make this pain go away. You know, get me doped up. I don't care. Make it stop. Like, because this isn't fixing it. And sure, I find out later from the specialist, I was right. You know, not, I didn't understand how much so, but.
Right.
So this pain, and he goes, you're just uncomfortable. You're going to be uncomfortable. And I said, sir, I boxed for years. I used to get hit in the head for fun. I'm not being a wimp. I'm not being a baby. This is excruciating. Like something's not right. So he pulls it out, does something else, whatever. And I go home and then. Next, I go to a different hospital. When it happens, it starts bleeding again. I'm like, come on. Go to a different hospital. And the dude, this is how, now you're getting, why this is the bloodiest week ever, right? So I get to the hospital, and their bedside manner was awesome. Because the doctor from before, when I told him I was in pain, he said, I'll be back in 25 minutes to check on you. 27 minutes later, because you count it when you're in pain, I looked over from a distance. He was playing chess with his RN. I was super ticked. And I told my wife, I was like, I've had enough of this. And I'm like, no. He's about to mess with my face. I'll yell at him later. I was like tomorrow when I get better. I was like, so anyway, but I go the next night, I go to the other hospital who usually doesn't have a good reputation with me from things I've heard, you know, but their bedside manner was phenomenal. It was like, whatever you do, I don't care if you get it right or get it wrong. It takes you forever. I really appreciate you guys, you know, helping me out. Like they got me on pain meds. they treated it. They were real kind. They were trying to help me through it. They're, you know, cause I was freaking nervous, you know?
Right.
And that stuff hurts, by the way, when they ran that up there and they put another one up there, blah, blah, blah. They sent me home and they said, you have an appointment with the specialist tomorrow, or you go see a specialist. I'm going to make the appointment. You know, my wife handled that cause you know, I'm out of it and super high on drugs prescription wise. And so I go to the specialist and he pulls it out and blood's coming everywhere. And I end up getting blood all over his $200-something pants. And I love this doctor because he's freaking real, right? He gives me basically what we jokingly called a lap dance. He jumps. This guy's like 70-something, 80 years old, right? He jumps on my lap. So I wouldn't sit still. Because this is, by the way, it's super painful when they pull it and they ram those in there. And he looks at my nose, vacuums that, does all that stuff. And he's like, sorry, man, I give you a lap dance because your body's too long and you won't stop moving. I'm like, well, it hurts. He's like, I get that, you know, and I got blood all over his pants and he was cracking jokes, trying to keep me in the right mood. And I really appreciate that stuff. It's not necessary, but I love that.
Yeah, he went above for you.
Yeah. So then after that, he's like, okay, we're going to package it up and come see me in a couple days. He does it again. He's like, you have to have surgery. He's like, cause I won't stop. And we're going to surgery thing. He's like, you look good. Come in tomorrow. We're going to put your package in now. It's like, sweet. So that was like yesterday, right? I go in there. There's four things in my note, deep in my canal, right? Four of them. He pulls out two and I start bleeding again. He goes, why is this happening? And I go, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. He goes, we're just going to leave that in for a couple more days. Cause it's just basically common sense. He said, you know, the enemy of good is perfection. It's like, it's still bleeding. We need to keep it pressed. It's that simple.
Right.
He said, we'll come in a couple more days, and which is on Monday morning. And he said, and we'll check it then. And he was just so patient. He explained to me why it's going wrong. And he goes, he said, your nose has been at the business end of some fist, hasn't it? And I go, yeah, I used to box. And he's like, well, me too. And he's like, how many times you broke your nose? And I was telling him that. And he goes, and I said, I actually reset my own nose the last time by myself. And then he looked at me and goes, you did a horrible job. Right. And I was trying to laugh, you know, because every time I did a little, you know, he's like, we're just going to give you some good drugs. We're going to knock you out. We're take care of you, but we're going to figure this out. And I was like, thank you. Because I love that he was like, I don't know because you can't know these things yet.
Right.
He said, but we're going to figure it out and we're going to put you at comfort. And that was like that experience. And it was so awesome. And of course, my kids are traumatized now because, and by the way, it hurts when they rip it out.
I told you I was going to. I was like, dude, that's going to hurt so bad.
Well, I warned them. Every time I warn doctors and nurses, some of them honor this and some of them just ignore me. But like, I always tell them, like, if it's going to hurt, let me know. Don't say it's going to sting or whatever. Let me know because I'm going to sit on my hands and I'm going to cooperate with you. But right. I need a brace for it, you know?
You need to be ready for the level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so every time some nurse like, it's going to hurt. I'm like, thank you. I means a lot. I would sit on my hands. I'd be like, I'm not going to move a bit. I'm going to help you do your job, right? Help you help me, right? And then one guy didn't do anything. He just like ripped him out or whatever. He's like, ah, it ain't got to be that bad. And he ripped out. Like, well, if I told you, I was like, no, I told you what I felt, you know? But anyway, but this guy, I love this guy because his humor is just straight up. But my wife is sitting right there and he goes, I was like, so I need to know so I brace myself because I want to move for you, you know? I was like, how bad is this going to hurt? And he goes, it's going to feel like I'm ripping it through your eyeballs, through your sockets. And I go, ouch. And he goes, sorry. He goes, ouch. And I go, and I said, ouch. He goes, yeah. And he said, so you're going to sit still? And I go, sir, that's all I needed to know. And I said, stuff. And all of a sudden, and he goes, and he referenced an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And I go, it's just like that. And I go, I don't know, man. Like all I could think of is freaking Kindergarten Cop right now. So the pain was so intense, it hit me so all of a sudden, you know, when I sat back, that in pain, I literally did the Arnold voice in pain. And it was, I think he was trying to fight, not laugh when he was doing it. Cause he was like, all right, here we go. You ready? And I go, yeah. And he goes, he rips it out. And I go, oh, he rips it out. He goes, still bleeding. We're done. You know, we'll play. So that. And then, but it was just, I love that kind of doctor, man. Like, he has my respect because he's honest. He's old school. You know, he's not going to sugarcoat. He's like, you're a man, not a kid, not a boy. You know, and if you ask me, I'm going to tell you, but, you know, help me out here. Don't be a baby, you know? And I loved that. Like, but he's pretty much confirmed me that everything that doctor and everything all of them are doing, not all, but especially that one particular that was playing chess. Like, was wrong. He said they were actually damaged because there's three shelves in a row. He was actually damaging me. So I was right that he was causing problems. It was whatever. No, he didn't know. I don't hold that against him.
Right.
But also, when I tell you, you know, hey, man, like, it hurts. Look at me. Don't come back 27 minutes later when you say you're back 20 minutes with no pain meds because you got to checkmate somebody.
Well, I mean, in fairness to, I mean, like, I feel like that's sometimes emergency room in general. I mean, because they're not trying to, like, sit down and figure out your whole problem. They're just trying to make sure you're not dying. But like,
that's why I said accredited to him.
Like a month, I think it was like probably a month and a half ago or something like that. It was like 11 o'clock at night or something like that. And I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep, about to go to sleep, kind of scrolling around on my phone. And Amanda goes to the bathroom. She's like, I'm going to throw up. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, cool. I remember the story.
And literally she goes in there and she comes back out. She's like, so I just like threw up blood all over the toilet. And I'm like, oh, like blood.
Like blood in it or blood?
No, like blood. Like she's vomiting Exorcist style blood. And I'm like, oh.
And it was all over.
Yeah.
When was this?
A month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago.
It's been a bloody season lately.
And I was like, oh, that's great. I'm like, we're going to the ER. She's like, no, I'm fine. I'm like, no, you're going to the ER.
She also said that it smelled like death.
Yes, it smelled terrible. Well, I've been told if you throw up blood, sometimes it does smell bad. Yeah, so we go there. Get her in and they're like, what's going on? I'm like, she's throwing up blood. And they're like, oh, okay. And literally see the doctor finally. He's like, first thing, he's like, yeah, have you ate anything that's red? And we're like, no. And he's like, oh, cool. Okay. Tell him a couple things, run some tests. And she made a mistake. I feel like, and this isn't a knock on all doctors, nor is it a knock on all ERs, because I've had some pretty good experiences in where I've gone. But I feel like they just try to look for anything. Oh, that means I need to restart our thing. I apologize.
That should be on silent.
I didn't know it was going to go off. I thought it was just like a stopwatch timer. Okay. But basically, I feel like sometimes they're just trying to listen for anything they can to figure it out really quick and get you out. Because she was like, they were like, well, did you have like a headache or anything like that? She's like, well, you know, like I've had migraines before, but like I wasn't really having one. I just, you know, had a little headache and then I threw up. And they're like, oh, okay. And then come back like, oh, yeah, you had a migraine. You're fine. It's like, yeah, but you're throwing up blood, though. Like, where did the blood come from? And they just never really commented on that part. They're like, yeah, you're good. And it's like, but Exorcist vomit. And they're like, it's fine.
That's what I hate. I like,
you're
about
ignoring very big symptoms here.
Right. That's what I hate about that kind of stuff, because they're like, they don't. That you, it feels like it's a big deal to you, and they overlook it because they know the science behind it.
Yeah,
well, and you like, don't, but then you're still scared.
Sir, I wasn't worried about the vomit part. it's the blood part that I was worried about. Right.
Like, yeah, you throw up when you have a migraine. Understandable. Why is there blood?
Why the blood?
It's like, though? What'd you eat? Not vomit. I mean, not blood. Not a freaking vampire.
Right. Right.
Yeah, it's crazy how this to have. The human body is so fragile. It's kind of the point to take from, you know, all that. Is you got to, and like from that, like I have my one energy drink now on our podcast nights. And other than that, I'm drinking Gatorade and water, and I'm taking care of myself, and I'm taking care of my life. And, I, you know, if anybody started for some reason, for some weird reason, looked up to me as a kid or something, I don't know, and you're out here and you're watching this, you're like, hey, Michael drinks energy drinks. I want to drink tons of energy drinks. Don't do it. It's not good for you.
Please indulge yourself with a reasonable amount of caffeine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're a youth pastor and you have one of those monster bars at your church, please stop it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've been in the emergency room a lot. Like when I was a kid, I was so active, but I always like got hurt doing stuff. Like I busted, I don't know if you guys have noticed, but I have this giant scar on my head.
You know, I've never heard that story.
I was four. You're 4 years old. And I had just got these new. Okay, so this is gonna date me. Have you ever heard of British Knights?
I'll date you.
What's up? No.
How you doing?
I have no idea.
Have you heard of British Knights?
No.
British Knights are. They were a shoe, and they were. I didn't know anything about them because I was 4 years old. But I had some, and they were brand new. And you know how on brand new shoes.
I'm getting my blood pressure right doing this.
Gotcha.
I figured that's what you're doing. When you have brand new shoes, the soles are like really, really sticky. Like, cause they're rubber, they're brand new.
Yeah, right.
So I went to go do something with the teacher, talk to her, give her something, an assignment or whatever. And I went back to my seat and I ran across the carpet because I wanted to sit in my seat and slide my chair across the floor. So I started to run and my foot got caught on the rug, like these brand new shoes got caught on the rug, and I face planted into the corner of a table.
Ooh.
And it hit right above my eye.
Too much grip.
Yeah. And apparently what happened was I hit it, it busted my head open, and I was out. Yeah. And my teacher freaked out. I remember coming to, and there was like a skinny black man standing above me, and he was wearing a blue button-up shirt.
Rephrase.
There was a skinny man who was black. And he was standing up there, and he was wearing a blue button-up shirt, and he had the you know those brown paper towels,
yeah,
that you have in like the bathrooms and stuff, and he was forcing it on my head, and I could just see in front of my eye just blood just running down. And then it's kind of one of those things where you like barely open your eyes and then you're out. Like I don't know what woke me up, but I remember that, and I remember the pressure on my forehead. And then what's your result?
Well, my wife watches this, so it's not dangerous, but it's enough to where I promised her if it hit anywhere near this, that I would switch to water.
Good choice.
See, responsible.
Unlike the cars out in the freaking road that you just heard racing down the street.
It also could be high because I'm like, you know, like.
Yeah.
Excited because I'm telling this awesome story.
It's
not high,
but it's near that line where I told my wife.
All right. So my parents get there to pick me up, and my dad said it looked like I had another mouth over my eye. And if it would have been 1 inch lower, I would have lost my eyeball.
Bruh.
Woo.
So they took me to the hospital. I got 21 stitches, there's like three different layers of seven stitches to get it all stitched up. Because it was all the way down to the bone.
Ooh.
777, bro.
Yep. And
it's interesting.
So anyway, so yeah, that's how I got that scar. And I was in the, I don't remember going to the emergency room, but that was me. I was obviously in the emergency room. I busted my elbow open riding you see that scar right there? A little triangle scar?
Sure do, yep.
I was riding my bike and I just come from a friend's house and my front tire was covered in mud. And I was going around, there was a car that was driving toward me and I was going to go off to the side of the road. And when I did, my front tire slid out from under me. And I landed on my elbows on the road.
Ooh.
Took a big old chunk out of my elbow. My dad came home and he put paper towels and duct tape on it, which was the...
That is the manly way.
That's the solution. And we went to the emergency room and we sat in the emergency room for 5.5 hours.
Oh my God.
And I had, this was in Houston, Texas, and I had duct tape and paper towel right here.
Holding there you go, man.
All my guts in.
That's the Southern way, man.
It's real.
And so what the reason we were there for 5.5 hours was because they take, I don't know if people don't understand how an emergency room works. They take you by order of condition.
Triage.
Yeah. So if we're sitting there and this guy carried in his kid, he was limp, just limp and not responsive at all. He apparently got hit in the head with a soccer ball and it's like 150 degrees outside. So that was definitely more important than my little elbow.
Yeah, it turns out.
I've broken my wrist, my ankle. I cracked the growth plate in my ankle when I was playing basketball because we were playing in somebody's driveway and the driveway kind of angled down, you know, where it goes down to the road. And I jumped to block a ball and I hit that. Rolled my ankle, cracked the growth plate, sat in the emergency room for that. Broke my wrist jumping out of a tree. I was probably two stories up.
Dang, dude.
I jumped and fell out of a tree. I didn't jump out of the tree. I fell out of the tree.
If you're going to fall two stories, always remember to catch yourself with your hands and break both of your arms is the best way to do it.
You'll have a real good relationship with your mom after that.
Oh, no. Oh, no, don't.
Anyway, so I fell. That's for all of my Reddit viewers out there. So I fell all the way down the ground. And when I did, I caught myself like this. And I ended up getting a mouthful of dirt and this... this bone here was to the side and then this other one was to the other side. So it was all messed up. So my dad, came home or came to my babysitter's house and he wrapped my hand in, a newspaper and an ace bandage. And that's how he stabilized
Man,
it.
Man, your dad's really got some nice.
Yeah. My dad was, I think he did sports injury kind of things. Like he would take it. I could be wrong. I don't know. But yeah, man, I've had all kinds of injuries. I broke my knee going down a slide. on my stomach.
Sounds like you get a lot of owies, and your dad's like, he's all
he's on it.
He's ready. He's yeah. like, oh, here we go again.
So what?
Don't forget your lunch and your med kit. Have a good day at school.
Med kit. That's going to be the thumbnail. That's going to be me walking to school with the med kit, just carrying it. Yeah, man, I hurt. And all the injuries happened on the left side of my body.
Huh.
It was my left eyebrow, yep. my left wrist, my left elbow, my left knee, my left ankle. All of it.
Mine's all been my right, mostly. One day we'll have an owie contest. Like, we'll just discuss all our owies and just put it all together and see. Because you seem to have a lot of owies, yeah. too.
Well, this was when I was younger, man. And I just did a bunch of dumb stuff because I was real active and all that kind of stuff.
I was just dumb.
I feel like everything that's happened to me has been equally distributed.
So I know we were talking about emergency room stuff like that, but I've got in injuries. So we were going out to the park, and me, my brother, and my dad, and we love to go out and play baseball together. So we found this ball in the back of the truck. I don't know where it came from. My dad had an S10. Pickup truck.
What kind of ball are we talking?
Well, I'm going to get to that because that matters.
Okay.
So we thought it was a softball that had the skin busted off of it. So we thought we found the middle of a softball. So we picked it up, and it looked like there was like some threads wrapped around it. So we pulled them off and we're like, okay, cool. It's a softball. I tossed the ball to my brother. I'm standing at the pitcher's mound. I softball toss it to my brother. He smashes it back at me, hits me right in the mouth, knocks one of my teeth out.
Oh.
I got all my teeth now. So
this is my baby teeth. I still have one I have to get fixed, but yeah.
Turns out it was a croquet ball.
Oh.
It was solid wood.
Was he like, are you croquet?
Are you croquet? That was good.
No, it wasn't. I'm ashamed of that pun.
Mark one on the pun meter.
I'm trying to keep one every episode. If I have to reach, I have to reach.
But yeah, so he hit me right in the mouth. And I felt one of my teeth got loose.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was bad. And then another time we were playing baseball, and my brother Randy pitched the ball to my dad. And my dad hit it and hit Randy right in the top of the head. Oof. And Randy said he didn't remember anything after that except for me, because I was in the outfield. He remembered me standing above him. So he was out between the time that it took for me to run from the outfield to the pitcher's mound.
Yeah, that's a good knockout. That's a clean knockout.
Yeah. Hit him right in the top of the head. And I heard the crack, too, man. It was like... It was crack, crack. And I was like, we're done for the day.
We're done for the day.
Yeah. I guess that's what's wrong with him, though, now.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So I've had a lot of... wait. Hold on. Since I'm talking about Randy, I can talk about his emergency room experiences.
Okay, yes. Especially his emergency room.
Yeah. I like to talk about injuries. Yeah.
Well, we're doing an episode later in the year about injuries and hours. I'm going to do public, like, big epic ones. So that, yeah. So if it's emergency related, throw it in. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I'll retell all those other stories. Mark. So my brother... he went to the hospital because he was feeling really faint, and I may be mistelling some of the story, but the points are there. So he's a bigger dude like me, not as big as me. And he's a lot shorter than me. So he's in the emergency room, and, he sitting there with my dad, and then he goes and he walks up to the counter and he goes, excuse me, ma'am, I'm about to pass out. And she goes, what? Because he's passed out before, so he knows what it feels like. And the lady was like, what? How do you, what? So he's like, yeah, I'm about to pass out. But before he even finished that sentence, he dropped on the ground. So he wakes up to like seven people trying to put him in a wheelchair.
What's going on? Stop it.
I need an adult. So first of all, he wasn't that big. But when you're dealing with an unconscious body.
It's dead weight, man.
Yeah, you can't. You need as many people as you can get. So he's like, he wakes up halfway through it, and they've got him. He's like laying in the chair, just barely. He's like, his back is on the chair. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he tries to help them. But when you're coming out of like faint, being fainted, you're like,
Mom's a noodle.
Yeah, you're like, he's trying, but he couldn't get it. So finally, anyway, they got him up into the chair. But yeah, he was out. And it turns out he was like dehydrated.
Bruh, why is that always it, though?
My brother is always dehydrated. He's not a water drinker.
Okay, so this will be my last emergency room story. And then if you guys have anything to throw in before we move into part two, which is being sick.
I do have one that you sparked, and it'll be a short one.
Yeah, that's fine. Because it's kind of related to that. And so here's my, and I was actually going to talk about, which is funny because it's a great segue. I call this one the heat exhaustion to collapse into collapsing. Into the medical room, into morphine party on the couch.
That sounds like a good story.
That's the progression of this, right? So here we go, ready? So I was going for a run, right? And I was a distance runner for a long time. What's even more embarrassing is I was a corpsman. I was a medic in the military, so for a period of time. So like one, the number one thing I put into people
was water.
Was water. It was like I have a headache. Water. I feel like I'm cramping. Water. It's always, you know, how much water to drink. It was always the first go to thing because it's so important to be hydrated. And I was a distance runner for years in high school. And I started, when I got out and I moved here, I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to get in shape. So I did attempt at different points. I was like, I'm going to start getting a distance running. So I started getting a distance running again. And of course, I'm old and out of shape. But I gave it a valiant effort. And I was like, and I don't know if you guys have ever heard of a runner's high.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So it's like you start running past that threshold, that pain threshold, your body starts releasing those endorphins. And you just start freaking, like, you feel this euphoric feeling. You're able just to keep going, right? Well, I forgot that I didn't drink much water, you know, and I was like, okay, well, I didn't, and I wasn't in shape yet, and I wasn't thinking, because I was feeling that, I was having that runner's high, I haven't had those in years, and so I was like, I feel good, I'm just going to keep going, right? You know, wind's at my back, I feel good. I was like, I think I'm going to go for 8 miles, you know, which back in my day, that was nothing, right? I ran a couple marathons.
I walked half a block the other day, and I was exhausted.
Well, you know, I freaking... I was like, I go for it. I feel good. No symptoms. I started getting a little wobbly. And I started feeling cramps in my stomach. And immediately I'm like, heat cramps. Right? So I'm like, well, I'm going to slow down. But I know not to sit down or stop. Because that's really bad for your heart. So I get right. I finally get to my road. I'm walking fast. I'm doing the Jenny Craig power walk. You know. And I get down to my road. I'm like, all right, there's my road. You know, they say like most car accidents happen within five miles because you put your arm down. I guess that same thing happened with me with walking. I'm like, there's my house. I'm a 2.5 minute walk away. I get there and all of a sudden I start feeling more cramped. I start feeling wobbly and I can feel the heat radiating from me. I'm like, and I knew, I'm like, this is heat exhaustion and I'm about to go out. I could feel it. So I'm like, I just need to get home and have not just straight water because you should dehydrate yourself. I need to have a little bit of salt and some water and, you know, kind of slowly rehydrate myself. Yeah, so I start, I see my grass is getting closer. I get there and I said something weird and I was like, wobbly, you know, I'll just say wobbly because that's how I felt.
Yeah, and you're a little past wobbly.
Yeah, so I'm like, woo, it's like you're woozy, but you're also wobbly. Wobbly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice save.
Hashtag my vocabulary, I can make words if I want to.
That's going to be a long hashtag.
So I get there and I just like, boom, right on my, on the ground.
In the grass?
Yeah. Oof. And I kind of gave my bearings. I'm like, ugh, you know, and I had my arm thing on because I was listening to music, you know, check off and I call my wife and I'm like, oh, hey girl, because that's what I call her on the show, of course. I'm like, I don't feel very well. And she's like, where you at? I'm like, yard. And I end up getting up and stop being a baby and going inside for a second and the cold air hit me and made it a little worse.
It made it worse?
Shocking your body.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And I felt more sick and then it just got real bad and fuzzy and I kind of started to stagger a little bit and I couldn't really feel my face, you know, and went to the emergency room and get there. And this time the medical staff was awesome. Like I was cracking jokes to them. They were receiving it. It was with their pity laughter. They thought it was funny. I was having a good time. They were bringing me, you know, ice because they said I couldn't have water. They were giving me like ice cubes to suck on to kind of because they were doing other stuff. And she goes, "How do you feel?" I was like, "Well, I have a lot of cramps and stuff. You know, like I don't know if you would give me Midol or what, but like, you know, it's like, but I don't feel very well. And I know it's from heat exhaustion. I know it's from." It's self-caused by not drinking water and taking, you know, I didn't think because being dumb. So they hooked up the IV, got the water going, the saline. I was chewing some ice stuff and they're like, well, how's your pain now? And I'm like, it's, I don't like it. And she's like, okay. And they hooked me up with morphine. They just felt, I'm like, and my first time on morphine that I was aware of, because I've been stuff laid up in the hospital before for military stuff and other stuff. Right. But I was like, I felt that. The intravenous whatever, and I was like, I like this. So then I end up at home on the couch, and I love, which is why we're gonna lead into being sick, you know, a little bit. But I don't like when things happen, but I love that 1 to 3, 4 day period when you're down for something. Cause, rather my mom, or my wife will go shopping for me and they'll baby me and I love it. And so, which when we go into being sick, it's the same station I set up with being sick. So I'll go into that in a second. So remember I said, I have a station and a system and it makes being down for the count for it makes it really enjoyable. But I was so, I remember I was like out of it on like a morphine and other stuff. And I sat there, and I was watching all kinds of shows and I'm just sitting on my couch. And I was like, man, this is a really, really relaxing day. And I didn't have to do any chores, you know. My wife took the kids outside and I laid on the couch because I love my couch when I'm sick. That's my go-to place.
Your couch is really comfortable.
It is very comfortable. I challenge you to sit on there and not just fall asleep.
Remember whenever we were there and we were like, hey, we got to go do some work and we both fell asleep.
Well, I knew the trap was
on different parts of the couch.
I knew the trap was, together. Big spoon. No. So, but I was, because I know the trap of the couch. I'm like, bro, don't be deceived. If we don't get up soon, we're not going to get up. He's like, yeah. I was like, dude, and the next thing you know,
your daughter climbed up on me, your cat climbed up on me, and we all fell asleep.
Yeah, we just woke up a bunch of kids and cats on us. And it's a long sectional, so he's on one side and the other. And I just wake up looking at him and I'm like, whatever kids and cats weren't on me were on him. Like talk about couches. But anyway, so like I love it gives me an excuse to sleep on the couch. You know, some people are like, oh, you're in trouble to sleep on the couch. Well, one, I don't believe in that. I'm the husband, I'm the man of my house, my wife's the wife, she's the woman of the house. No one kicks anybody out of bed. But I go to the, but to me, going to the couch is a freaking treat because I just love my couch and I have my big curved TV and I have my snack station set up and it's like I'm on vacation from life and everything. It's just a good break.
Couch snack station.
Sleep is different. It is not the same.
Is that why you always fall asleep on my couch?
Correct.
Well, he's an expert of sleeping. He falls asleep everywhere.
Oh, he's good at it.
If there's anybody who knows, it's me. I'm an expert in the field. I will tell you 100% a good couch sleep. I don't know if it's the same for females. I have no idea. I know, especially for males, a good couch sleep.
Don't need to cite this. He is the source.
They hit different. They hit different. I don't care what you say. If you sleep in your bed, that's one thing. But like, you take like a good 25-minute dad power nap on a couch
after eating a funnel cake and drinking two bottles of Gatorade.
It is, it is energizing in a different way.
Yeah,
100%.
That's very true. Whenever I fall asleep in the middle of the day on the couch, I wake up and I'm like, why can't every sleep be like this?
That is fact.
It's like a treat, you know, like eggnog. It's seasonal. It's every once in a while. It's good. If you had eggnog every day, it wouldn't be that great.
Right.
Right.
So like, I love sleeping in the bed with my wife. You know, I enjoy that. I enjoy my bed. I enjoy that, you know, that kind of thing, you know, and I mean that in a clean way, not in a, you know, I enjoy that. But every once in a while, I got to have my sleep eggnog. You know, I gotta go to that couch, you know, and just be in my own island of comfort. But before I go into how that ties into my sickness and say that, cause we are running low. Do you want to throw in your urgency room story?
Yeah. So you said something earlier right before we started this episode and it reminded me, I don't remember what you said, but I know I remember what it reminded me of. So I went to the hospital for, I feel like I had like these palpitations in my chest. I wasn't sure if it was my heart or what the deal was, indigestion. I don't know. It scared me. And then my boss was like, I'm going to take you to the hospital because my left arm was feeling a little weird. So I was like, well, let's just check it out. So I went there. I'm in the emergency room, like waiting in the bed. You know, they put you in a bed to come and check on you stuff. The first person to show up is this lady that's like, hey, so if you pay now with a debit card, you can get a 20% discount. And I was like, why is this a thing? Oh, man, I was mad. I mean, I guess I get it because the hospital has to make money and run and stuff. But it's like, why are you talking to me when I'm laying in the bed in the emergency room? Scared that I might like have a heart attack.
Right.
Like, why are you coming to me being like, you can get a 20% discount? Like, leave me alone.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you, brother. I'm just testing out my wife's booty bands.
So I thought of another story, just a real quick one.
That one seems to be less resistance.
Yeah. I think that one is for that's a better booty bulk kind of pump.
So my brother Randy has a pacemaker and a defibrillator in his chest. And the reason is because we were playing football, or he was playing football a long time ago, and he was chasing this guy, and he was...
You go ahead. I'm just...
he was chasing this guy and his heart started beating really fast and his heart rate. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. We went to the emergency room and we're waiting in the emergency room and his eyes are bloodshot red. He can't breathe. He's holding his chest. His face is flushed. Like he can't breathe. He feels like his heart's going to beat out of his chest. And he stops to look at the TV in the waiting room to check the score of the Patriots game.
That is your brother to a T.
That is him to a T.
That's awesome.
Turns out his heart rate was at 300 beats a minute.
Oh, no.
So they laid him down on the table. They hooked up the EKG or whatever that thing is that tells you your heart rate. And they were like, we need everybody right now because his heart rate was 300 beats a minute. And apparently that kills athletes instantly most of the time.
Yeah, dude.
So they shocked him. I think they ended up shocking him like 7 times and gave him like this medicine to get his heart to slow down. And it took a while for them to get it to slow down. So now.
That's scary. That is scary.
And what was even worse is the doctor or one of the nurses or whatever came out to me and they were like, hey, do you have your parents that you can call? And I was like, that's the worst question that they can ask you. So I got real scared for a minute. I went and called my parents and I was like, they needed me to call you to come up here. Randy's in the hospital. So yeah, anyway, so he has a pacemaker and a defibrillator in his chest that the leads go down his armpit and into his heart. And they can actually, what's crazy is they can control his heart rate over the phone. He goes, I don't like that at all.
But he's an Android.
He is now. Yeah. But yeah, so if his heart slows down, it'll kick it back up. And if it goes too fast, it'll slow it back down. So he has a pacemaker and a defibrillator in his chest and he has a $250,000 doctor bill.
Oof.
He did not have insurance at the time.
Oh, that is ouch. And I was crying about telling my wife not to call the ambulance.
Yeah. You know, but I'll take the bill over being dead.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm grateful. I'm going to stop being a baby next time my wife's like, call him. So I go, yeah, sure. Because like that right there, that's a serious freaking bill.
Yeah.
But it's worth it, man. His life's worth a lot more than that.
Yeah. So he keeps getting messages from, doctors and the hospital and all that kind of stuff, and they send him letters and stuff, and he's like, I can give you $10 a month. I mean, I don't know what I'm gonna do because
I got $2.
Right. Well, and what's crazy is it's $250,000, but it's like from like 40 different places and they all want money at the same time.
Oh, trust me, I know.
It's like how in the world. Oh yeah, that's true. It's like how in the world are you supposed to even consider paying off $250,000? That's like a really nice house.
Yeah, they don't care.
How you do. Well, what's crazy is they wrote off a good portion of it. Like, that's several of them did.
Some of these medical expenses really tick me off. I understand some of the validity behind some of them. Some of them is like, really? You drove me 2 miles in that ambulance, and it's gonna cost me, like, thousands of dollars?
Right.
And all to mop it up the blood? Like, you hooked me up with anything. You didn't give me medication. Like, I get it, but it is very, very, like, super expensive, more than I think we could cut some cost here. I think it's like we can get away with it, not the hospitals, but the insurance, the everything that goes in between it.
Well,
you know more about that than I do. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's to make it simpler than it actually is, and just for purposes, a lot of the issue is that, I mean, there is costs, you know, I mean, for having EMT that has training and blah, 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 blah. But like, just looking at ambulance in general, part of the problem is that, like you said, there is insurance. Mm-hmm. And so that has slowly kind of escalated pricing to the point where it's like, yeah, you can kind of, and also, I mean, talking about insurance, a lot of ambulance providers are out of network with any kind of insurance. So it means they can charge whoever they want.
Yeah.
Within a reasonable economy.
I believe in a competitive market thing, but there's just something not right. Okay, so here's the thing, right? So I believe EMTs are awesome, right? They see people at their worst. They got to have some nerves of steel. I thank God for people like that.
I couldn't.
They're a type of person that it's awesome, right? Here's the thing, though, is that if I'm getting, let's say, a 7,000, I got good insurance, right? I do. So let's say I'm getting charged like $7,000. For their unleaded fuel, or let's say premium fuel, the fuel of that ambulance, to drive me a 3-minute drive from my house to the local hospital, right? Yep. That's about what it is, right? Then those EMTs And the ambulance driver maybe has to better be making a lot more money than they do.
Oh, yeah. They don't make
anything. That's my problem, right? So like, the thing is that you guys, I believe you should make profit, but there's a level you're making a lot of profit. And the people who actually are, you know, running these things aren't making nearly what they should. Like, not even close. And so, because I do respect the crap out of them, man. Like, they're in my top 20 most respected job professions out there. And that's up there with freaking, you know, special forces and stuff like that. Because, I mean, your job is to come in and every day meet people at their worst, in their worst situation. I mean, that's amazing. And people still are beating you because they're scared and all this stuff. I mean, they're a special kind of person. I would be a lot more comfortable paying that if EMTs made three times what they make, and they would still make tons of profit.
Well, you're looking at the guy in the back of the EMT who's saving your life, who probably makes like 15 bucks an hour.
Yeah, and that's what drives me nuts, because it's not the price as much. I mean, yes, but it's like the allocation of the money.
Yeah.
Because you look at it, it's like they spent $1. This current gas was, they probably spent $1.12, right?
Maybe.
To get me to that hospital. Maybe. I'm giving the whole.
No, if it's $2 a gallon, there's no way.
It's $1.65 a gallon.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, at $2 a gallon, there's no way driving you 3 minutes is going to cost like half a gallon.
I was giving them a huge bit of the doubt.
Right.
I was rounding up for them, $1.
That's why somebody's hey, can you, if I'm like, hey, man, can you drive me like down the street over here? They're like, yeah, it'd be $5 in gas. And I'm like.
Now, if you're using their equipment, right? And I understand there's cleaning fees or stuff like that. But come on, like 10 grand? Like, no. Here's the thing, right? And that's it. From what is left over from what your insurance, you know, like it's ridiculous. A helicopter one, I can justify that because helicopter fuel, the emergency, like that makes
pilot,
sense.
Pilot,
that makes sense. But when you got somebody driving you down the road and I can run it on foot and I can run it on foot in 8 minutes.
While I'm injured.
Yeah. Yeah. If normal circumstances, right? And just a handful of minutes, and you spend $1 in gas rounding up for you, you know, like you should pay them very well. And still make a really awesome profit and still not net charge a couple thousand. Now, I think it should go based off of, like, let's say I use equipment or they put me on something there or whatever. Anything that could endanger the staff or you know, more that I have to use that's of their product, you know what I mean? Right. But, like, it does bother me because I'm sitting there thinking I'm dying. I'm bleeding out. I can't grab my chest. I'm suffocating. And the first thing I say is, don't call an ambulance. Just drive. We can make it. Right? Because.
Yeah.
And we, you know, and they have to go through a process. So I'm sitting in the ambulance. And my EMTs were amazing. Like, they were awesome. But you know, protocols like that. But they're sitting there in my driveway for, like, another 5 or 6 minutes. I could have been in the hospital and waited for them there.
Yep.
If I drove myself, like, and I'm not knocking, I'm just talking about the way it's ran as far as the overall umbrella. To me, the people, the EMTs are heroes. But, like, yeah, they need to cut that down.
Everything after that.
At least have coupons or something or discount. Based on,
dude, my bond's
in the mail.
I got a Groupon.
Dude, my brother, they drove him from the hospital here to St. Louis in an ambulance. I can't imagine what that cost. That's what, like 120 miles.
Yeah. It's
I can't imagine what that costs.
It's taking advantage of people at their worst.
Well, as do funeral homes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's correct. A rant for another time.
Yeah, definitely.
So now we're going to being sick because we're
sick of the way that they handle.
So
that's a soapbox I won't get on right now.
Yeah. I mean,
especially without more research.
For me, for sure. Like Amanda says this all the time. Like me and her are the exact opposite. So like if I get like injured, like actually injured, let's say I like chop my arm off. I can kind of like just scream and then grit my teeth and be all right. Like, I'm like, this hurts, but it'll be okay. Well, just take me, do whatever you gotta do. If I get sick, I'm immediately a child, 100%. Like, I could have a cold and like, I'm just like in the fetal position, like, I'm gonna die. Like, every single time. Amanda hates it because literally, like, I'll have like a minor like sinus infection and I'm like, babe, I feel like my head's going to explode. I'm like, I hate this. I'm like, I can't breathe. And she's like, literally you're fine. I'm like, but like, I've I jumped off a car one time and I don't remember if you were there at the church and like the door like sliced my ribs open and ooh, I'm literally, and
I was definitely not there for that.
Yeah.
You remember something like that.
Yeah. Amanda was there and she was literally, that's an exaggeration. It wasn't like it was like my ribs were flailed, but like it like cut me open and I was like, oh my, yep, that hurt. I'm like, I'm good though. I'm like, it's all fine. And she's like, you need to go get that looked at. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Just, you know, just
throw give me some duct tape and paper towels.
But yeah, as soon as I get a sinus infection and I have to get like minor antibiotics and some steroids, I'm like, I'm going to die. I hate my life. Kill me now. Take me back. I'm back. Old Yeller me. Which actually leads into, I don't know if this counts as sick, but it's similar. It was a terrible, terrible, terrible thing. And Amanda laughed at me for weeks. And I was so mad. So I'm kind of tubby currently, but I didn't know. I wasn't always like that. I used to work out quite a bit. And like,
I used to be a wrestler.
Yeah, I wrestled 4 years in high school and I was mediocre, but I loved it. About a year ago, probably 2 years ago, maybe now, I was like, I'm going to hit back into the gym. I'm going to get my routine back, right? Had all my old programs written down. I go one day and I'm like, all right, we're going to do this. Went through my old routine, went fine, felt good, went home, went to bed. Woke up next morning about 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, all right, I'm going to take that dog out for a walk. So I get halfway into the street, taking the dog for the walk, feeling okay. Yeah, and all of a sudden, literally, I face plant in the middle of the road. I'm like, huh.
Cool okay. trick.
Interesting. This is fine.
Face plant.
I'm like, all right, I'm just going to get back up. Walking down 3 steps, cerebral palsy, just literally face plant. I'm like, huh. Yeah, my legs don't work anymore. Went through this for like the rest. So I'm like a quarter mile from my house at this point. I'm having to walk with my knees locked because my legs are so jacked up. The muscles in them are so destroyed that they cannot hold my weight any longer. So I am walking like stiff legged, like I have little braces on, like double leg Tiger King. And every single time that my knees unlock, I face plant. So I finally get back to the, this is like 5:30 in the morning. Like every, like there's no one out. It's dark outside. I finally hobble my way home with my dog who is pulling me down every about 10 steps. Get her back in the apartment. I have stairs down to my apartment too. So I'm literally like grasping onto the ledges for dear life, dragging my useless paralyzed legs behind me.
Dude, that sucks.
Oh, it was so bad. And then
every step of the way.
Every knot step.
Yeah, like pretty much every 15 steps, my like it's like my entire legs just give out and I'd flop. And so I finally get into the hallway.
Your hallway's really long too.
Yeah, I know. I finally get to the hallway of my apartment and I'm like, you ever done the thing when you were a kid, right? When you're trying to climb the walls, yep. You're like Spider-Man. And so you're like, you have your arms on both sides. You're like climbing up like that. That's who I am, except it's with my arms trying to keep me like away, like upright. And I get halfway down the hallway and my grip fell. I literally just collapse in the middle of the hallway. I'm just like, I cannot get up because of the space. So I'm just like crawling into my bedroom because my legs are no longer functional. And Amanda's just sitting there watching me. She's been watching me since I got in the house. Watched me literally face plant twice to fall over and have to crawl my way into the bedroom. She's like, what's up with you? I'm like,
she probably just thought you were
my legs don't work. And she just busts out laughing for like 15 seconds. She didn't help me either. I crawled my way into the bed.
I was trying to give her an alibi. Because no. I was like, she probably thought you were training real hard. Just doing the arms only like.
No, she is a mean, mean lady. And likes to see me suffer.
That's funny.
And that's how she treats me every time I get sick too. And I do act like a child. I understand that. But I have a bad time.
No, she probably knows you'll milk it, so she's trying to like, you know.
And I hope she listens. I know she's going to listen to this because she listens to every podcast. I want you
good
to know
answer.
I'm not lying. This is completely honest, and you're a bad person.
But
you're my wife. I love you.
But I love you. Yeah.
But you're a bad person.
That's awesome.
That was the chair, not my butt. Uh-huh. I mean, it was my butt, but it was my butt, my chair.
Chair butt.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. See? I didn't do it. Wow.
So you said you're basically like the same way. Like you just like don't get sick.
So here's how I do being sick. Right. It's a big deal for me. Right. And I'll milk it for everything I can.
The udders. So, that was, he was milking a cat right there.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's a big dilly dill.
So what I do, ready? So I'm going to do a very quick, because we have to tie it up soon. I'm going to do a very quick, like paint a picture of, I'm going to Bob Ross this verbally for you guys. So what I do is I get my happy couch. I get my spot in the corner there with the end table.
Mm. I think that's more Mr. Rogers. Yeah, that's actually more Herbert.
I'm blaming on all the things in my nose right now.
Right.
I can't, it was, anyway. So I'll get in pajamas, right? Cause heck yeah. Right.
Right.
Gotta
Are
be
they
all,
footy pajamas?
Gotta be all silky smooth, you know? Good. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you gotta be all silky smooth, you know? And so then, I'll get my spot, right, my armrest at my table there, and then I will have snacks brought to me. And so usually I'll get the request, you know, be like, well, you know, now it's more modern, so it's what you want to order from Instacart or whatever. Before, I was like, well, I'm going to town with you. I was like, I like this type of soup, the one with the stars in it. I was like, I want a variety of Gatorades and juices. Don't get me the fruit punch. That's the only red flavor I don't like. You know, and I'll kind of lay out for it so it's really easy for, you know, and I'll give my list of like, I want these are my snacks. If they don't have these three, then these are the three backup snacks, right? I'll have it going like my shows or whatever, or YouTube. I usually watch Just Play Nonsense because it's a fact, a medical fact. Don't fact check it. Don't waste your time. If you watch JPN and you're sick, well, one, you should subscribe. It'll make you feel better. But if you're sick, it cures the flu. I've even heard rumors of Corona, but I don't want to go there. I'm just saying. So if you're not feeling well, watch JPN. You'll feel better. It's just a weird medical fact.
Somebody's going to write in and be like, my father died. I had to watch it. It didn't work. You lied to me.
You're like, you watched the wrong episode. The volume wasn't on an even number.
Yeah,
don't
watch the We're All Gonna Die episode.
Yeah.
Which is an episode. But you gotta watch the right episode. Just get it prescribed. Just hit me in the comments and I'll let you know. You let me know what's going on. I'll tell you what episodes to watch. Make sure you like and share.
Michael is the JPM witch doctor. Yeah.
But you gotta share it with people, right? There you go.
There's a process.
No, but anyway, so like, I'll watch whatever I feel like watching, you know? And so I'll get my snacks and my stuff brought to me. And I get to be a baby for a couple of days and I like it because I work hard. I'm very busy. So it's kind of a nice break for me. Lately, I've been sick like a vampire because of this a different condition. I'm still in my comfortable spot, but right. You have to sit sleeping up because you can't, you know, bleed. So I'm just like this with pillows propped up. I got like a pillow fortress. And then, so this has been the last thing on that one, right? So my food station stuff. But here's been this last encounter that has been weird. So my wife and I'm usually the one who finds the best shows on streaming sources, right? Mm-hmm. You know, whenever I've already watched, whenever I'm caught up on all the Just Play Nonsense episodes, I need to watch something new, right?
Right.
So I'll go on and I'll pick a show, and then my wife like, hey, that's awesome, she's watching me. And then, you know, of course, next thing you know, like by the end of the week, she's like three seasons ahead of me, and I'm like, what the heck? And every time, like, we gotta watch it together, right?
Man, I hate this.
Yeah. So it drives me nuts, right? But I digress, right? Let me get back to my point here. So like the thing this week has been this show called. I'm going to go ahead and promote it here. They've been off the air for a while, but have you ever heard of Psych?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So basically it's a show. I'm tying it to what happened here, right? So I'm like a big kid, right? But just remember, there's a reason I'm saying this. So I was watching Psych, and the premise of Psych basically in a nutshell is that this dude has very good attention to detail, which I have very good attention, not this guy's level, but you know, but he knows everything in a room and he has a good reasoning skills, and he manipulates the police department into thinking he's a psychic. So he's psychically solving all these things, but he's not actually, he's just really smart and notices everything and puts it in. He's able to use the really skilled deductive reasoning and put things together and solve stuff, right? He's always just a bit. So he convinces everybody he's a psychic, whatever. He does this, like, this thing where he's like, you know.
And he's real bad at it, too. Like, yeah. The faking it, he's like, oh.
Yeah. Oh, I see something here. I see something here. Like, there is something in front of me. Yes, there is. And it was, and it, you know, whatever. But just the way, it's a pretty funny show. So, my wife and I have very different senses of humor. There's some stuff I'll be like, why are you not laughing? It's really funny. And then she'll be like, because I don't think it's funny, right? And so it's very rare we find a show where, like, we both agree it's
funny.
You know, we're laughing at the same stuff consistently. And so this show, she laughs so hard. And I think it's pretty funny, you know, some parts of it, because it is. But I've never seen her laugh so hard on a show than what she does in this. She laughs, somehow just tickles her funny bone. But she laughed so hard that she was laughing, that it was causing her to close one eye. It was like clenched. And she was like doing some weird face. And then it caused, and then I started laughing even, then I started laughing at how hard she was laughing. And then my nose started to bleed.
Oh, man.
You've sabotaged
and
yourself.
I was like, you just ruined, no, out. Like, you know, but she's been taking really good care of me. And I really like that process of being sick, because I get to be a baby. I get to kind of indulge in not having responsibilities, you know, and I enjoy that quality time because I've been off work lately, you know.
Right.
And so I've got to spend time with my kids because I'm not actually sick, so I don't have to quarantine myself in a room. It's just an injury. self-inflicted unintentionally, but you know, I've gotten to cuddle with my kids, spend time with them, spend time with my wife, and I don't have to do any chores. You know, I don't do anything. I just like, it's just, I enjoy being sick. And even this one, which kind of sucked because I couldn't lay down, I love it, man. And like every time I get sick, I'm usually a lot more sick than I really am. Edit that out.
It's because you ham it up.
Yeah, because I ham it up big time. But I freaking love it. And when my kids, I get that from my mother. When I was a kid, my mom, if I was sick, especially just seems every year around my birthday, school time, you know, but if I was sick, my mom made a big deal out of it, right? And some people might say, oh, well, that kind of encourages the wrong behavior. No, it didn't. Because whenever I actually was sick, you know, I felt comfort, love, and I seemed to get better a lot. Even though I milked a lot, I felt better along. And it's a nice kind of experience, the bonding kind of thing. And it's an enjoyable thing that can happen once a year or whatever. And so now with my kids, I do the same thing. Like they expect it. They're like, oh, dad, you know, they don't sound like that. Oh, dad. But like I set them up a food station, you know, I get them their snacks. I get their TV. I took them whatever they want. And when I was a kid, I get one toy for free when I was sick. You know, and so I did my kid. It's cheap, something, whatever, you know. So, but it's just getting sick in my household is freaking fun, man. It's enjoyable. It's like you're the king or queen or princess or whatever for like that period of time. It's amazing. I love it. So I don't know if you guys did it, but it's worked well in my household. How do you guys do being sick?
I rarely ever get sick. Rarely, so rarely that I honestly don't really have. It's not a thing.
I haven't really had the flu in 4 years. I don't even get immunizations.
That, hey girl?
Yeah. But like I keep having things happen, like being laid up from dehydration or whatever, you know, or
that's what I'm saying. It's nothing.
Yeah. Or I'm looking up. Yeah. Well, same. Well, that's good. But like, I don't get the flu. I haven't in 4 years, right? This is the last time I had the flu. When I did get it, it was pretty bad. But like, I believe in immunizations. I'm not that person, but I don't believe in flu immunizations. And that's a story for another time. And there's a lot of people a lot smarter than us that can argue points on both sides for the flu immunization. We need the other ones. I'm just saying, story for another time.
Right.
But yeah. So, but you know, I have a strong immune system. So, but man, I don't want to miss out on my sick time. So like every once in a while, I'm like, hey honey, I don't feel very well. I don't feel, maybe it's cause I'm tired because of this, whatever. I feel nauseous. I'll lay down and I'll always get that night or that day.
Yeah. See, I don't have anybody to do that. So
buddy, you let me know when you're sick.
I'll call you.
I'm gonna set you up a food station. I'm gonna get you the silkiest pajamas from Walmart.
If you're going to get me some pajamas, I want some of those like footy pajamas. That's what I want.
Okay. I'm going to custom order them for you. It's going to be like,
you're going to have to, cause they're going to have to be real big.
It's going
to
say, I'm super sick. Help me, bro. It's going to be real pitiful. So the footsie's going to have like some kind of weird animal ears.
Maybe I'm down for that.
Maybe like Katugi ears. That shit will be all custom. It'll just plain nonsense pajamas. And then, I'm going to set you up with the most like elaborate, like tent set up over your couch and spot.
Right.
And dude, I'm gonna show you what you've been missing all these years having a sick station.
Yeah, like
you're gonna be like, yes, I'm sick.
Anytime I get sick, I either like, I'll still go to work or I'll do like just do whatever, because I mean like I grew up without my mom, so I didn't have that. My dad was always at work, so right. If I got sick, it's just like I'm fending for myself.
Well, from now on, metaphorically, when you're sick, I'm gonna be your sick mom. It's like a. So there's moms, there's stepmoms, and there's sick moms.
Right.
I'm going to nurse you back to health, and you're going to know what you've been missing, my friend.
I'm down. I'm down for that.
Yep. I'm going to get your temperature and say, well, looks like you ain't going to work today, young man. You have the bestest of the treats. I got you, man. Hey.
Bestest of the treats.
Boom. You're going to start enjoying this.
Yeah. The worst I've ever had, though, I had a real bad migraine, and I went upstairs. I think I told the story once before. In a completely pitch black room. And I laid there and tried to go to sleep, but I ended up bringing the cell phone with me and it rang and it woke me up and I had to take it downstairs to my brother because we shared a phone. But yeah, that was bad. It was bad. That was the worst sick I've ever been was when I had a migraine. A lot of times though, if I don't eat properly, like my blood sugar will drop.
Yeah.
And then I'll run to like McDonald's or whatever to get some food real fast. And I'll try to eat it. It'll take me like 45 minutes to eat one burger because I'm so sick to my stomach every time I take a bite.
What's that sound?
That was the air conditioner kicking off.
These things pick up a lot of stuff, man. It's good quality stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks, Patreons. No,
yeah, I think that's it for this episode.
Yeah, that's it. So let's wrap this up.
I'm sick of this episode.
Oh. Yeah, you punned right in the last moment.
You got one in.
Yep. So
Michael, one, Rob, one, me, zero.
Okay, so once again, this is Just Plain Nonsense. I'm just playing Michael.
I'm just playing Rob.
And I'm just Shane.
Hey!
Hey, you kind
of added one.
Brought it together. You kind of, a little bit of both. One. Yeah. A little bit like, I'm going to join you guys, but I'm not going to fully conform.
Right. You can't, what is it? You can't be a nonconformist unless you do and act exactly like we do.
Here's our rule. Here's our rules for anarchy. I don't know. That was weird. Okay, so anyway, that was the episode. You know, like, subscribe. You do that part. That's your thing. Whatever.
You guys, if you like the video, like it and subscribe. Hit that notification icon so that, I guess you need to smash it or whatever. I think that's
still smash okay. That like button.
And you know what? Actually, you know, if you know somebody who's sick, send them this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it'll make them feel better.
Maybe it'll bring them out of their sick couch.
Or it could teach them how to be a big baby to get more likes from their family.
So that tag them. So tag or send this to someone who's sick because. I think they'd enjoy it.
But yeah, so go check us out on nonsense.podcast if you want to follow us on Instagram. We've got Twitter at underscore plain nonsense, I think is what that is. There's so many of them. They're all different names. So if you're going to forgive me if I get them wrong. The correct one will be in the text down below. Let's see. We've got Facebook at JPN Podcast. And then... You can actually watch or listen to these episodes on our website at justplaynonsense.ninja. I haven't done this in a while, so it's it's hard.
Go anywhere you can and type in Just Plain Nonsense. And if you find us, you get involved, you like it, you watch it, love it if you can, share it anywhere that you can find it. There you go. That covers it all.
Yeah. All right, that's enough plugs, and I'm sick of this, so let's go. I'll see you guys later.
All right, bye.